welcome to episode 39 of
Brutal a Battle. My god, it's like brutal battle all up in my grill piece, homegirl.
So is that your best valley girl?
I don't know, I'm really running out of voices. I probably have done that one already.
Yeah, maybe we just need to transition back to the straight up brutal battle.
Yeah, the brutal battle.
That'll be our next one, I guess. Right. We'll just hop back to that.
Do we have anything planned for our next episode? It's 40.
Oh, we do.
Ooh.
Oh, we do.
Well,
but I don't want to spill the beans, in a sense.
No, don't spill the beans, dang it.
Just like that old school game with the plastic beans. Did you ever play that? Don't spill the beans? You put, like, beans on this little, like, suspended can, and if they go too far one way or the other, it spills all the beans. Oh, no. It's terrible.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's an awfully stupid game. Anyway, let's get to the hop knowledge.
Hop knowledge up in here. We're dropping hop knowledge.
And you like that I don't actually have, like, a clip that I just put in. I just actually do it every time.
Every single time.
That's because I put in the effort. That's what it's about. It's about being original. Every time it might just be a little different. So the hop this time for our hop knowledge segment is Bramling Cross. If you remember, we had Bramling last time, and it just said spice. And it was mainly used for aromas. Bramling Cross, on the other hand, is also from the UK. And actually, I'm not using the Brewkeep website for this one because for some reason the Brewkeep website is acting up. So,
launch issues.
I understand.
Launch week issues.
Stuff happens. But, so Bramling Cross is earthy, has herbal aroma and flavor, and can be spicy even. But lower amount of oils in total reduce the strength of the fruit, the strength of the traits and allow for more fruity flavors and smells to come through. And a good example of the use of this hop is BrewDog's IPA is the best example I found. I know there are other examples on here, but, and actually this website even gives us a little bit of an idea of styles that it's typically used for.
Wow.
So Bramling Cross is typically used for golden ales, bitters, rye ale, IPA, stout, golden ale, imperial stout, pale ale, and what they say is holiday ale, which I assume would be like, you know, those
spicy,
spiced Christmas time ales. But And this is actually from a website called beerlegends.com. So they have a lot of good information on there as well.
Seems like they have a lot of good information.
They do. They actually do have a lot.
Ricky, so. Come on. Get it together.
Just make sure it's working. That's all. That's all we ask for. So we had a good episode last episode. We tried some nice beer, so I'm hoping this time around we
That'd
can follow
horrible.
Up. You know, honestly, I don't think we've had any time other than because of like an actual face-off. I don't think we've had any time where we have, like, two great tastings in a row.
Mm-mm.
It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
But that's the way of the world, isn't it? This time around, I wanted to talk a little bit about a trip that I had to the Dogfish Head Brew Pub.
Ah, yes.
At Rehoboth Beach.
You had my beer I'm so balls deep on right now.
Yeah. And what is that beer, Kyle?
It's Chuck Lobster. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, the Chalk Lobster, which when you tell anyone about it, they're really like, ew, is their first reaction because it's a chocolate lobster stout.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's just like, ew, chocolate and lobster. But the reality of the situation is it plays so well. It's like there's like this nice brininess from the lobster, and it gives you a little bit of like a meaty mouthfeel to the beer as well. And then that's really just balanced well with a sweet chocolatiness.
What did you give it?
What did I give it? On my spreadsheet, I may have gone like a 6 or 7, something like that. It's pretty good.
So in the Brutal Battle world, that's like a 3.
That's like a 5. Yeah, it's like a 5. But it was good. And, you know, there are a lot of people. It's very similar to... when a lot of people originally were like, chocolate and bacon, ew. You know, but savory and sweet together is such an amazing...
Salty and sweet.
Oh, it's outstanding.
I will say this, just a little sidetrack here. Yesterday, I make a protein shake before I go to the gym usually. and we had made pancakes and bacon for breakfast, and we had like 2.5 slices left over, and I threw them, which is in the blender, and it was ridiculous. It was so good.
I'm not sure that's how it's intended.
No, it was so good. Because we have a ninja, and that thing, you know, purees the hell out of anything. So
you have a ninja living at your house?
Yes. There's a ninja under the cabinet that just comes out with, like, wakizashis and shurikens. No, it was so good. Oh, my God, it was good. So, yeah.
Very cool. There was another beer that I tried at the Dogfish Head Brew Pub that I really liked. It was called Stewed Ale, which actually was not by Dogfish Head. It was by Province Brewing Company. And I guess so it was just...
They renting out space in their brew pub or something?
I don't know. I guess maybe they were like
renting out taps.
Good friends with them. And then they just kind of were like, hey, we'll have your beer. It's kind of like a guest beer. But it's called Stewed Ale. And it was called Stewed Ale because the beer was made with ground beef and ground mustard. Which, that's another one you'd be like... Disgusting.
No, I mean...
But you really couldn't even taste much of any mustard in it, and you definitely couldn't taste any ground beef in it.
So it was just a beer?
I mean, really, it was very, like, refreshing flavor to it. It was actually quite good.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of hard to describe. It was just, like, very fresh. And I guess, like, in the mouthfeel, you could kind of see where the ground beef was, because it did give it, like, a heartier mouthfeel to it.
Like a minerality to it or something like that?
A little bit, yeah. But it was nice. It was a good one. I did have, we had a few other ones, like their Firefly beer, which they made for the Firefly Music Festival, which was pretty decent. And then their...
Every time you say that, I think they made it for the TV show.
For the TV show.
The TV show's coming back.
They brewed it specifically for Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
And then there was M2E, I think is what it was called. It was like based on some homebrew that someone they knew had made that was really good. And it had a lot of interesting spices to it. It had like some cinnamon, some vanilla, some hazelnuts, a little bit of chocolate to it, caramel. It was nice. But my wife and I were enjoying it. And then I said, this is so... bubblegummy, it's ridiculous. Like, there was a lot of bubblegum on the nose and then in the flavor too. And she was really liking it, and then as soon as I said the thing about bubblegum, she started tasting it and smelling it, and then she's like, I don't like it anymore. Because now all I get is the bubblegum since she said bubblegum. So that's kind of a good example of how the power of suggestion can ruin things for people. But I guess on the other hand, it can really enhance things, because I know there have been times where I've kind of told people about, like, wines or beers and really, like, upsold it. And I know that probably without me saying so much about it, people would have just been like, it was okay. But then with the ideas I've kind of placed in their mind, they go and taste it and they're like, yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be awesome. So it is awesome. So the power of suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And I did try to bring back some chocolate lobster because... That I went during the day, and then that night, Kyle and myself and some RJ and Mark, who were on two episodes back, we were playing Pathfinder that night. So I was like, oh, it would be awesome if I could show up with a growler or a chopped lobster and just kind of pass that. Yeah. But Dogfish Head has a policy, and their policy is this. Their special beers, their special release beers, I guess, you cannot get them in a growler, and they're only served at the brew pub. They don't bottle them, nothing. So you can only have it at their brew pub. And it's
so dumb.
And they have two brew pubs. They have one in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and they have the one in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
They have three.
But they have three? Where's their third?
They have three.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know where the other one is, though, if they do have a third.
Yeah, I forget.
But they will only have their specialty beers at the one in Rehoboth. And I think that's partially because they actually still have brewing equipment in that brew pub, so they still brew some stuff, and then I guess they just, whatever they're brewing there is what they're serving there. But I understand why they won't let people take growlers of it, because it's kind of like an attraction to bring people into that specific location, but it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Those policies really get on my nerves. I mean, I understand why they do it, to make it a place to be and all that, but still, I hate that stuff.
Well, to my nerves. And to kind of, I guess, in a sense, advocate for Dogfish Head a little bit more, why they're doing it, beer hype has gotten so huge lately around beers that are like highly rated or, you know, sought after, that people are making trips specifically to get certain beers. So really they could have a situation on their hand where if they don't have this policy, people could be figuring out when they're releasing a special beer like Chalk Lobster, showing up on the day it's available, packing in there, filling growlers and leaving, and then there's nothing. You know, it's just gone within a day, and then they don't have the ability to kind of draw people in with it anymore to that place, or, you know, just the idea of, like, spreading the love, letting as many people as possible experience it.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, there's that aspect. But then there's also, well, it just makes me think more about how there are now people who are specifically going after these really sought-after beers right now just to be able to resell them online or in person. Some people use it just for trading, which I'm totally okay with. Like, if you want to go and get, like, a case of Heady Topper, which is, like, by Alchemist Brewing, I think they're out of Massachusetts, which is, like, one of the big beers right now that everyone's trying to get a hold of, but there isn't enough supply.
Justified.
That's, yeah, you've had it, that's right.
It's so good.
Well, there are these people who go, and I don't know if they have, a limit on how many cases you can buy at once, but I know I've seen, like, on Beer Advocate, there's a thread for their forum about, post a picture of your latest haul of beer that you've picked up. And there are people who are posting, and they've got, like, 3 or 4 cases of Heady Topper that they just purchased. God. So in that sense, I kind of feel like maybe Heady Topper should be like, hold on a second, this isn't such high demand. I think maybe we need to limit it to, you can buy a case of Heady Topper when you show up. I know that Three Floyds out of Munster, Indiana, they've started to limit how much beer people can buy from them. And a lot of the liquor stores that they distribute to have been limiting as well. Like, there's an online liquor store that I purchase from, and every time I go to purchase, they might have, like, a new, you know, Three Floyds beer that I want to try, and I try and get it, and you can only buy 1 12-ounce bottle. And that's, like, it says 1 per customer. That's it. So you can go through and for however many different types they have, you can get one of each, but just having 1 12-ounce kind of sucks. So which leads me to something else that I want to talk about, like, how kind of beer hype is ruining it for some people. I mean, do you think that's accurate, Kyle?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Because some people have the means, some people don't. And the means to get there and wait and all this stuff and pick up this rare stuff. So yeah, I would completely agree.
Well, but then to make it worse, you have these people who go out and they're like, ah, Heady Topper is very popular right now. I'm going to go buy 4 cases of Heady Topper, and then I'm going to go get on Beer Advocate and post that I have these 4 cases, so I'm willing to trade. So, I mean, in a sense, that's not as bad to me, just because they're trading. There's no, like, actual money involved at that point, and it is kind of like spreading the love in a sense, because there are people who can, you know, like, in my case, you know, maybe I could go and get some, like, a 6-pack of Sweet Baby Jesus by Duclaw, because the person who got Heady Topper can't get it. Mm-hmm. And then I can barter and say, let me give you a 6er of, you know, Sweet Baby Jesus, you send me a 6er of Heady Topper, whatever, and it's a fair trade. So then I'm finally getting the Heady Topper. But there are people out there who are purchasing large quantities of these beer just to resell them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a crime, in a sense. And I believe one of the beers that's probably happened with the most is Dark Lord by Three Floyds. Mm-hmm. And they, I don't know, are you familiar? They have, like,
Dark Lord
entire
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Have you heard anything about Dark Lord Day specifically?
Just how it's just an overhyped kind of experience. But, I mean, maybe not. I've never had it. I don't know.
From what I understand, it's like you pay $35 for a ticket just to get the ability to purchase a bottle.
That is ridiculous.
So you pay $35 in order to basically have a spot in line, and then you have to pay for the beer after
so
that.
Stupid.
But I've also heard that there are people who are basically scalping those tickets and selling them for, like, ridiculous amounts
of
money.
Even more stupid.
But then there are also people who are buying the tickets, getting in line, making their purchase, and then turning around and on the internet reselling.
Yeah, selling it.
So, like, there's a website called, like, beerauctions.com, which is an awful website, in my opinion, because, first of all, the majority of what they have on there is empty beer bottles. Like, it's so stupid. It's like, oh, here's this collectible empty beer bottle. Like, collecting empty beer bottles when they haven't even had the beer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just seems so stupid to me. But every now and then they will have actual beers that are full on there. And I saw recently there was like a set of like five different Dark Lords from like the past 5 years. And it was on auction, and I think the auction was at like $600. Who is stupid enough to pay that much money for like five beers?
Five beer bottles.
No. That actually had the beer.
Oh, I was about to say.
They actually had
the beer.
I was
about to say, $600 for five beer bottles that you haven't drank is... Okay.
Yeah, that'd be even worse, but...
$600?
Yeah. I mean, there was still beer in there. I mean, that's the good thing, but...
People with expendable income, I mean, yeah. Can't blame them.
I mean, if you're rich, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. You're just like, ah, whatever. $600, fine. I'll take all those Dark Lords off your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's some people who are planning on kind of turning around and flipping them.
Yeah, maybe.
Again. I don't know.
People keep flipping them. It'd be like $1 million bottle of beer.
Yeah.
Keep flipping them and flipping them and flipping them.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand, Dark Lord is kind of like... It's kind of reached that status where it is so sought after that there are people who are willing to just throw money at it. Like,
I'm interested.
Crazy.
I'd like to try it, definitely.
I'd like to try it too, but not short of actually getting a ticket and standing in line to get it.
What is it?
You know,
double stout?
Stout? From what I understand, I think it's just like, I think it's an imperial stout with a bunch of different spices in it.
Hmm.
And honestly, from what I'm told, the last few batches have been kind of crappy, honestly. I know the Beerists podcast, they had done a whole episode about Three Floyds, and they had a Dark Lord on there. And I think it was a 2011 or 2012 Dark Lord. And they were like, this is crap.
Hmm.
Like, they tried all these Three Floyds beers and were like, every single one, they're like, amazing, awesome, so good. And then they had the Dark Lord and they're like, this is not good.
Did they know what it was?
Yes.
So maybe... The hype had something to do with them saying it wasn't good?
A few of them had actually even gone up for Dark Lord Day to get it. And then they come back and they're like, yeah, this isn't so hot. So that's a huge letdown. So then you get this, you know, so I guess for the past few years, the batches haven't even been good, yet the hype around it persists.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still buying them for large quantities of money.
Because people... I'd say a lot of people probably don't follow it year to year to year and just expect, you know, it's good. It's been good in the past. It'll be good now.
But even people who know that the last few batches haven't been good, do you think they'd still be willing to throw money at it just because
probably.
Of the hype around it? Because
this is a new year. You never know. Might be,
yeah.
Might be back. Might be the turnaround or whatever.
It's just a little bothersome to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bothersome to me because... I'm trying to purchase beers online, and I'm trying to get beers, because I'm a ticker, I'm trying to get beers that I haven't had before. So to be able to check off, you know, all these Three Floyds beers, or be able to get a hold of, like, some Russian River beers, or Alchemist Brewing beers, or stuff like that, they're just not available, because people are going and buying large quantities, and then trading them, or reselling them, and I can't get it. And all I want is, like, maybe, like, a six-pack or something, or, like, one bomber. I mean, come on, that's all I want here. That's frustrating. That's my rant.
Good rant.
And after a nice, vigorous rant, I like to jump into some mystery beers.
Yeah, buddy, now you're talking my language.
So we got two beers in front of us.
Yes,
it is that time.
One of them looks dark, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, B looks very dark. It looks like stout porter-ish.
Mm-hmm.
A looks red ale.
Red ale, scotch ale, brown ale,
something
like that.
Let's
take a closer look, shall we?
So A is very red.
Yes.
In its color.
Very
it's,
red.
It's
amber.
Right through it.
Very amber.
See, right through that sucker.
Oh, just by the smell. This is going to suck.
Not good on the scent? I'm going to do the cup and swirl.
Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't smell good. It just doesn't smell like something that's great. It doesn't smell bad.
Doesn't smell excellent. It doesn't smell bad.
Pineapple.
A little pineapple. Yeah, I could see that. So there's some definite hop presence in there.
Yeah, resiny, as you like.
It is resiny.
Got a resiny nose to it.
I'm going to guess this is... It's very, like, weird to say, but like a syrupy note.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be... It's going to have a lot of mouthfeel.
That's what you would think, and then you taste it, and it's like... Yeah. We've had a lot of beers like that.
It smells to me like it might be like... double IPA or something.
It might not be that bad, honestly.
Yeah, the more I'm sniffing this,
yeah,
I'm getting some nice hop characteristics out of it.
Some mangoes coming out a little bit for me.
Yeah, I can see that, a little mango-ish. Okay.
Pineapple's probably the front runner as far as aroma.
I'm ready to try it.
Cheers, Skip.
Raw. There's a definite like pininess, earthiness to it. I'm
not crazy about it. Tastes like dirt.
Yeah, it's very dirt-like.
Yeah, like if I went out back and licked my backyard. It's dirty, yeah, it's dirty. It's weird.
This is a dirty beer.
It tastes very like bitter. Yeah, it's got a lot of like dandelion, like that bitterness that just oof.
And there is an astringency to this.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of like the vapors come up through your nostrils.
Yeah. I'm not a fan at all.
Yeah, I'm not so huge on it.
It's not smooth.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's not terrible because it does have a nice smoothness to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the bitterness left on your tongue is a little cloying.
Yeah. Tea, that's what I'm getting, like a black tea or something like that. When it sits in my tongue for a second, you get that at all?
I do. It is a little black tea-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a black tea bag beer.
Plop! And lemon, too. I get lemon, too.
I'm not getting so much of that. I'm really just getting like that
earthiness.
When
it sits in my tongue, you kind of breathe across your tongue a little bit, and those like vapors kind of come up. That's where I'm getting a lot of the tea and the lemon. Yeah, that's really coming through for me now.
It's not terrible.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's not like amazing, but it's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's astringent as an MF.
Yeah, there's a lot of astringency. I'm going to be interested to see what the alcohol content is on that, because that is potentially inappropriate.
Yes, I concur.
Well, let's hop over to B then, and B is dark as night. I can't see anything through it.
Oh, man, I'm so happy.
There's nothing.
Not even a red tinge or anything. Mm-mm. It's got a nice tan head to it. Dark tan head, actually. Fine carbonation, no lacing. No head, really, to speak of.
Yeah. It's got... Is it the lighting, or is there a little bit of, like, a purpliness around the head?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's kind of weird.
That is kind of weird. Like a bluish...
Yeah.
It's blue-black.
What is in the... Are there beets in this? Is this like a beet stout?
Or grape. More grapes.
Yeah, who knows?
All right, here we go.
Let's... Ooh. Okay.
What the hell?
There is a saltiness on that nose.
I get like a squashy kind of aroma. A
little bit.
I don't know where that's coming from on a stout.
This is weird. You know, last episode you were talking about like a jerky type scent. This has a jerky, like a smoked jerky type scent to it. It's very salty on the nose.
I'm not getting that. I'm getting more like vegetal stuff.
Well, Mike,
I'm getting like grilled squash, that kind of thing, like grilled like char, maybe like the char kind of thing is coming through for me a little bit.
Well, my allergies are starting to kick in this morning, so
there's a touch of sweetness on the nose.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of like a chocolatiness to it. God, I just get that. Yeah,
I get a little bit of it now that I'm
jerky
I'm
and salty.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. This one's odd. Maybe I shouldn't rinse out my glass well enough, but there's some conflicting things in the nose.
There's going to be, I feel like there's going to be some kind of weird ingredient in here. At least one. Maybe multiple.
And I'm not really getting a strong nose either. I'm struggling to smell things.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. There are a lot of things kind of vying for attention in the nose.
Mm-hmm. I get a little bit of barnyard nose to it, too.
Definitely.
Just a little bit.
Definitely. Right, smells like a horse a little bit.
A horse. Yes, it does.
As I've heard people say, it smells like a horse blanket. People have said that before when describing beer.
I'm getting the chocolate now, too, and a little bit of caramel as well.
Yeah, it's definitely there. Well, let's taste it.
Yep.
Okay. Jerky.
Wow.
A little bit of jerky at
first. Salted caramel, big time.
It's very salty.
Salted caramel, 100% for me. This tastes so much better than it smells.
It finishes very soy saucy on my tongue.
I got a little bit of mushroom in there, too.
Hmm. Like, let me taste
maybe
it.
Maybe that's that earth a little bit.
Yeah, let me taste it again and see. I feel like the finish, I'm getting some sort of juice to it. There's like this fruity
I get coffee.
Finish.
Coffee on the finish. A little bit of the earthy mushroom thing. A little bit of soy sauce. Salty.
It's really weird.
It is really weird. And I'm really struggling to decide if I hate it or I love it.
I can see beets in it. I definitely can see beets in this. You know, it's weird. I am... It might be psychosomatic, but I'm getting a bit of like a grapey aftertaste to it. It's like there's grape juice in a stout.
I have no idea what's going on with this beer.
This is confusing.
It tastes like three beers mixed into one.
Yeah, it really does. Is this a blend, maybe?
It has an awesome mouthfeel, though. Great mouthfeel for me.
This is, I don't know. I'm not sure this
is. And it's really smooth, too. But yeah, like I said, I mean, all the characteristics except flavor are good, in my opinion. It's not astringent at all. I don't get any over alcohol. But yeah, it's very conflicting on the tongue. That's the only thing I'd say I would...
Well, back to A. Oh, man, it's so funny because you drink B and then you go to A, and it makes A taste so much, like, brighter. It's so much, like, fresher, brighter.
Yes, it does. Wow.
B is certainly enhanced A. I get a lot more...
The astringency slaps me in the mouth with A.
Yeah, yeah.
Because B isn't at all.
It's still there.
A is a lot.
But I'm getting a lot more, like, hop flavors, like, hop characteristics out of A now.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about A.
Not so much crazy about either of these.
Yeah. I just gotta go back and
forth. For different reasons.
I don't know, though. B is very interesting.
God,
and I think that makes me, like it. You know what I mean? I like something that's different every once in a while. Like Sati, for example. I love Sati because it tastes like no other beer. And I always like to have it every once in a while to kind of confuse my palate a little bit. I have a Sati in the fridge.
Ooh.
I have a lot of beers in the fridge, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a hard one for me.
You know, B's not working so much for me. It's got, like, the finish is very much like some sort of, like, fruit juice with a saltiness, and it's just not playing well on my palate for me. And it's kind of giving me a little bit of a kind of feeling like I might throw up when I sip it because of that how it leaves my palate with those two flavors, the fruit juice and the salt.
I know what I got.
All right.
I got my scores.
I need to figure out where I'm going with this one. Okay. I think I know where I'm going. Hey, what are you going to put on that? Kyle's going to 2.
I'm going to deuce.
All right. I'm going to go 3. I like that a little bit more than you, so that's 2.5. And B, I'll go first. I'm going to 2.
I'm going to 3.
You're going to 3. So
there you go.
Hey, look at them tied. So they're both getting a 2.5 for this episode. Let's just go ahead and reveal them already. And Kyle, go ahead. You're closest to the beers again. So right. A or B, whatever you feel like.
I want to do A first since it's
because you didn't like
alphabetical.
That.
All right. A is... Wow. Bear Republic Red Rocket Ale.
Oh, it's a Red Rocket, huh?
Huh.
Okay. What's the ABV on that?
Makes me think of dog dicks. 6.8 alcohol by volume.
Oh, it tastes like a lot more than 6.8. That's
bad.
Not good.
Bad, Bear Republic. Bad.
Well, you missed on that one, Bear Republic.
Yeah, that was disappointing. Let's see if we have some verbiage. Red Rocket Ale is a bastardized Scottish-style red ale packed with distinctive flavors and aggressive hop. Character rivaled by none. This unfiltered, bottle-conditioned, amber-colored ale breaks all style molds.
By tasting
extremely astringent as an MF.
Yeah.
Sonoma County Ales.
Yeah, sorry. It's inappropriately astringent.
That's a miss.
No.
As much as we like Racer 5... Red Rockets doo-doo.
I mean, honestly, like, I gave it a 3 because I feel like, especially after having B, it has some decent hop characteristics to it. It's not a terrible beer. I could drink it again, but they missed. And here's B.
B is?
Heavy C's Peg Leg Imperial Stout. The fact that that's Imperial?
What's the ABV?
Yeah, they do throw around the term Imperial.
Yeah.
Sometimes. 8%. 8%? That's low for an Imperial.
Imperial, you gotta be like nine. Yeah. For an Imperial Stout, for me, this is a miss.
Let's see. Our Peg Leg Imperial Stout is done in English style. That's a negative in my book. I do not like English stouts.
Yeah.
Focused on malt rather than hops. Devilishly dark yet surprisingly smooth. Luxurious with notes of coffee and dark chocolate. And some weird-ass salty juice.
Yeah, maybe there's something wrong with this batch, because...
It's very confusing.
Yeah, there's probably something wrong with this batch, because if it's an Imperial Stout, and it's, as the description says, that's not all that's there. There's, like, this fruity and saltiness. There's something wrong.
Yeah, there's something
It's been infected, potentially.
It's like what we had with the Allagash Black. Like, I did not remember a briny, olive-y kind of thing with black.
I'm going back to that, too. That Peg Leg, I took another sip. I gotta dump it out.
That's rough.
It's kind of making me almost want to vomit, honestly. Like, it's just... it's very, like, soy. Fan.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Ugh, get that out of here.
Yeah, that's...
Bad.
No good.
Shame on you, Heavy Seas.
I'd give that a 2.
Well, you gave it a 3.
I know.
All right, well... We've proved that the pattern stays. We have one episode where you have great beers to taste, and then the next one it's wah wah.
So,
but who knows what'll happen next time? Now that we've had a bad one, maybe we get a good one next go round.
I do appreciate at the bottom of the Heavy Seas they have the fresh taste purchase before blah blah thing on the bottom. They have the month ticker and then the year ticker. That's pretty cool.
Does it say purchase before? You said
it says purchase before month notched. And it's December 2013, so...
Yeah. I was hoping that was going to say it's just too old. And then I could have an excuse for him, but no.
But I don't know. You see, maybe not, because isn't half the idea of, like, stouts and things age... You know, you age a bottle. What is this purchase before business if you're supposed to age certain...
Yeah, I don't know.
How does aging come into that?
No clue.
That makes me think it's more macro and not micro.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Well, no.
Because they
I
have
mean,
all those, like, stupid, you know, best before dates and all that other stuff.
Well,
like, you know,
then you'd be interested to know that Stone has come out with a series of beers that are, the name of them is Best Before, or Best Buy, and then it has the date when it's Best Buy.
Hmm.
And that's the name of the beer. So, like, the most recent one was, like, Best Buy 9/13/13, which I hear is it's an awesome beer, so.
It's weird. Because aging is, like... You know, you age high alcohol beers. I mean, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah, it depends. But for them, it's your typical Stone. They're going for, like, high hops.
Yeah.
And when you want to get, like, really hoppy floral stuff,
yeah,
floral, citrusy, earthy, whatever you're looking for, yeah, very short shelf life for the optimal taste in that sense.
True.
It's just like my favorite, you know, when we did that show on the Nugget Nectar and we did the 1 year aged versus the fresh, I mean, you like the 1 year aged more because it, like, really played down the hops. I like the fresh because it was, like, hops like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really what you're looking for. So
yep.
You could do it on your own if you want. You could age it. Why don't you go get a case of this Peg Leg and age it?
No. I don't want your salty juice, stout, weird. It tastes like it was stirred with someone's Peg Leg.
Yeah. Arr, stir this with me wooden leg. And on that note, I think it's appropriate for us to say... Thank you for listening.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.